Hello and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Admiral Phillips, and joining me in this endeavor into the stars is Alex from This Week in Geek.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. This week we'll be talking about Star Trek Short Treks, which two of them have aired by this point in time. I know that we've not really covered a lot of the previous ones, but what was your favorite one from season one of the Short Treks?
Brightest Star. Like the first one, Runaway, I thought, I don't know, I felt it was a little cheap, but it ended up being important to the story. And then the second one, Calypso, which one was that one?
That's one with Kraft and Zora, the hologram.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's the one I like the most.
That one's probably the best one. Although my favorite, I would say that's my second favorite.
Yeah. Brightest Star was not the one I thought. Yeah, it was Calypso. That's the one I like the most. And then I would say Escape Artist.
See, I like them in the reverse order. I like the Escape Artist and then Calypso, but I love what Rian Wilson is doing with Harry Mudd.
I didn't think I would, and then I did.
I didn't think I would either. Yeah, he's like, actually really good.
He purposely played against type. Like, I didn't know how he would go. It was less silly, but then again, like nothing's as silly as the original series. So, well, maybe we'll talk about something as silly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he kind of is a little silly, but I did love the Escape Artist just because he had all of the other android versions of himself.
He's silly and sinister. That's the difference.
And he was selling himself to everyone.
Which is kind of a brilliant idea. Like, isn't that what the perfect salesman is? You're perfect salesman / actor. You sell yourself. You don't sell the product.
Yeah, well, he sold himself and he made a lot of money, and that's how he could afford to do everything he did in the original series. But yeah, it was kind of funny. So going into the season two versions of them, both of them so far have to do with the original Enterprise under Captain Pike's command. And it almost seems like Q&A, the first one, which is also written by the guy that did Calypso, Michael Chabon, who's writing Picard. He's the series writer for Picard. I almost feel like Q&A should have been second, and The Trouble with Edward should have been first.
Maybe I saw Q&A. I saw the title pop up on my screen, and I went, "Oh my God, Q!" And then I went, "You lied to me, you bastards!" And then immediately went, "This is actually pretty good." it was the quintessential like fly on a wall bottle episode where they're just in one set the whole time, but it makes sense.
I mean, other than the transporter room, the bridge, but yeah, I mean, the main location was the turbo lift. So it made it very isolated. Very cheap too.
And the budget's going to be a big thing this season, because like the last two seasons of Discovery went way over budget and they got in trouble. So if they can shave money on these little guys here and there and find inventive ways to tell a compelling story without having to spend money, then, you know, all the power to them.
That was one of the things that the original tracks were pretty inventive with doing. But they also had practical effects.
Here's the problem. You can see that they went low budget because the turbo lift looks very PlayStation 2 graphics-y when they're flying around. Where if you went literally like during the big war episode, was it the second last episode of
Deep Space Nine?
Yeah, are you talking about of Discovery? When they're going through the turbo lifts, those were a lot of practical effects that they just shot and then did some computerized stuff. And the parts that were computerized, like one frame from that episode of Discovery cost more than this entire episode, at least in CG.
Yeah, easy. So the funny part is that Q&A kind of tells the story of Ensign Spock making his first appearance on the Enterprise and beaming over, and number one is greeting him and giving him the tour and more or less stating that in her very like non-emotional state that you know, ensigns, when they beam aboard, do this whole question and answer thing, and she's like, fire away, you know, or but to begin with, he asked no questions. So she was surprised. And then since they're trapped in this, you know, turbo lift that's not functioning properly, she's like, all right, fire away. And then he's just like, just literally doing exactly that.
Do you like eggplant?
Yeah. And he's like, am I a nuisance yet?
And then they end up singing, which is glorious.
I didn't like that scene, but only because it was so like off the wall.
Well, to me, it's
humorous,
but then I didn't hear the song. I only hear the last episode of Reboot singing in my head, because I saw that so much as a kid that the lyrics here, all I could hear were the lyrics sung from Reboot. So I was like, oh, it's taking me out of the show because of the particular song they chose.
Didn't he write that episode?
Oh, that's a possibility.
I want to say he wrote that episode.
Let me double check.
Yeah, you do that, because I can't recall, but I want to say he worked on Reboot. I want to say something terrible, he worked on Reboot, but
I'll see right now, because I'm pulling up his IMDb. Well, the writer of the episode, no. Wait, maybe. No. No, he's working on the Masks, or the Mask live action movie. Oh, and a remake of Visionaries, Knights of the Magical. What? They're making that again?
That'll bomb.
That'll bomb. Mask might do okay.
Was that like a season 4 episode that they did that?
Of Reboot? It was from Endgame. When they go and they watch the play where they recap the entire show.
I wonder if that's season 3.
Damon
Rising was season.
Yeah, season 3, because we didn't, in Canada, we didn't get a season 4. Season 4 was just the two movies.
Is that after they did the system crash?
Yeah, the system crashes, and then it comes back, and they have the two Enzos. So yeah, it's the last episode of season 3. When it like it's that was going to be the original ending.
Yeah, it doesn't have him on there, but it would be humorous if that's how that came about. Is he was like thinking about Reboot and how like absurd it was,
because it was so over the top as a kid that it sort of got ingrained in my head.
Oh yeah, it was crazy, and so it was funny, and so yeah, like I didn't mind it as much, but like I don't like some of the really over the top goofiness that they do in some of these shorts.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a way for them to play with it, like we had talked about on the previous recording of that they're trying things with Discovery that they wouldn't have tried any other way, or maybe, you know, on another show. Like you can't do this with the Picard show if they do Picard short treks, or if they do, it cannot involve the main cast members. Although I would pay good money to watch Patrick Stewart sing that song in Trek. You know, but then again, you know what? There have been things. Remember when he put on the hat and was sort of dancing around on the set of the Enterprise there?
Yeah, he's done quite a few.
Yeah, so he's done this before. So yeah, I could see him doing it. Actually, I'm going to recant what I said. And the only thing is, I've noticed like it's sort of been like serious episode, silly episode, serious episode. It's sort of how they were doing it on the first season of this short treks. And I'll say one thing about Calypso, the one from last season that I like the most. It's the only thing on the series, you know, Discovery included, like since they rebooted, that I actually almost cried watching it. Like it was a better put together 15 minutes than pretty much the entire first season of Discovery and most of season 2. So I just find it that it was interesting that was better. And here, Q&A is, you know, it's what you would have called, you remember back in the day, like 10, 12, 15 years ago, when they were making what they called mini-sodes, or they'd make like, it would be like a webisode and it was like a 2-minute thing. It's like they took a 2-minute story and then extended it to 15. There wasn't a whole lot to it.
Yeah, pretty much. There really isn't much to this. It's a lot of non-information, like banter, just for the sake of having them say something.
Yeah, like it was, sure, it's out there, but yeah, you're right. It was sort of a filler one. They should have led with the second episode that premiered as of, I guess, the same day that we're recording, which is the Trouble with Edward, which I just, anytime, you can't put the word trouble in a title of a Star Trek thing and not expect it to have tribbles. And it didn't disappoint.
I think they did that on purpose. Like even DS9, they had Trials and Tribulations,
which is, by the way, the absolute best episode that is not tied to the main storyline.
Oh, I know. I love that episode just because it has to do with the Bureau of Time Travel. And then they have, you know, Sisko's crew going back, and then they're actually playing within the confines of the original series episode.
Well, and they openly said, like, if you have I forget which season, I think it's season 2 of the original series on Blu-ray, they include a Blu-ray copy of like an episode of that. And it's actually the only episode that's been remastered in HD. All of Deep Space Nine, every DVD release, every TV release, even the versions that they throw up on like Netflix and everything, mm-hmm. they're all based on the TV masters, except that one episode. Because when they remastered the original show, they went back to the original elements, and they actually, that's the only episode of Deep Space Nine that was filmed on 35mm that wasn't mastered for tape.
That's so funny.
So if you get that series, you can actually compare it. Like, and I have the complete set on DVD, like when they put it back in that new big box.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on, I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty good for TV. And then I popped in my original series Blu-ray and watched it, and I went, oh, they put this out in 1080p, and it's the singular episode that they did that with, and I'm so happy because it's my favorite episode.
That is one of my favorite episodes. I actually need to go back and watch that again, just because.
And they only made it. They didn't think they could do it. They did it because of how successful Forrest Gump was and how the technology to do that superimposing had gotten so much better than the old blue screens they used to use.
Oh, yeah. And it's actually really funny.
And it's like, yeah, like the little bits and pieces they put in there of like Worf, you know, not wanting to explain why they don't like Tribbles.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah. And it's like,
yeah, he's,
and well, in this one, they actually, you know, for, if we want to go through the plot line of it, basically, the guest stars, Rosa Salazar, who, if you're looking at her and you're like, I kind of recognize her, but you don't know what she's from. She was the star of the Battle Angel Alita movie that came out. Was it last year?
Yeah, I think so.
So the reason she might look familiar, but not 100%, is because you're used to seeing her with digitally enhanced eyes where they, remember, they blew them up like twice the size they should normally be.
Yep.
But she's a good actress. And then it also, I guess, stars H. John Benjamin, who you'd know maybe as Bob from Bob's Burgers. He's also Archer in Archer. A lot of other voice acting roles, basically playing the same voice in almost everything he does. But he has one of those just perfect cartoon voices. Then, of course, we have Anson Mount as Christopher Pike. And it's about the previous science officer leaving the Enterprise and sort of... You're right, actually, plot-wise, this should have been aired first because the first episode was Spock joining the ship, and this is the person leaving the ship that Spock replaces. So,
should have been in reverse order, but regardless, it's really funny how it all came out. Like, I thought, now one, I really liked her character just because she was kind of snarky and kind of, you know, you could almost feel like she was already established. Going right into it as she was talking to Pike, and Pike's, you know, like, oh, they'll eat you alive, and then she's like, looks worried, and he's like, I'm just kidding, you know. And
yeah, you'll be like, basically you can see it was like almost like a father-daughter relationship.
Oh yeah. And it was, again, it was just really funny how it played out. And she you could tell that she was a little worried, but not. And then she gets there, and then Edward's just like this bumbling idiot. And then he's like,
what about your team? He's like, oh, there's no team. It's just me. So what do you have to talk about? Oh, I didn't know we were supposed to prepare anything.
and then he's like, I think my pad's broken. And then the lady leans over and he's like, it was broken. And she's like, yeah. And he's got excuses for everything. And then the next day he gets called into her office and she's like, so I got a ton of anonymous complaints that I'm unfit for command and I'm dumb. And he's like, well, are you?
They couldn't have picked a better guy to sort of do that. Like, I had forgotten that he had done live action like acting before, but he's actually for certain roles kind of suited perfectly. He's like the bumbling middle-aged buffoon.
Yeah, he fit really well with this actually, and it was kind of funny that, you know, during one of the parts, like he dabs a tribble and he's like, because he's like, they're actually pretty tasty, and he's like very meaty, and he's like, I figured out how I can produce more of them so that, you know, we can send them wherever. And so he's the reason why they're born pregnant.
And they replicate so fast because they're genetically
modified. And they replicate
modified.
So fast. Yeah. And then they end up on this planet. And then they also end up on, like, with the Klingons, which is hilarious.
Which is what I wanted to tie in with that whole Deep Space Nine episode. This is sort of feeding into that lore that we're finding out that it's actually humans that caused the almost like the war, whatever conflict that they had with the Tribbles. And I guess at the time they wouldn't have had an aversion to them, but like whatever the Klingons did to them, they just naturally, like, through, you know, thousands upon millions of generations, because they breed so fast, it's now bred into every single one of the Tribbles to be fearful of all Klingons.
and they did wipe them out from almost everywhere, is what they said. And somehow when I forget what his name is, but he was in the trouble with Tribbles, he's the one that came with the Tribbles. It wasn't Mud.
No, wasn't it the same actor?
No,
because he played a couple characters in the show.
Let's see. I'm trying to find Rod. It was no, that Roger C. Carmel. He played the original Harry Mudd, and he was in any of the episodes that had the word Mudd in it. I'm trying to think of who it was. I know the Trouble with Tribbles was, I want to say, first season. And, oh, this is going to kill me. Oh, a little preparation, man. No, it was season two.
Well, it's one of those things I'm pulling it up on IMDb myself here because I was positive it was, but no, because there's the one guy that's a Klingon that's had cosmetic surgery to look like a human.
That was Darvin.
Yeah.
And then they had Cyrano Jones.
Okay.
The interstellar trader, Cyrano Jones, arrives with goods for sales and purring balls of fluff called Tribbles. I do love that Kirk told Scotty to get rid of him, and Scotty beamed him over to the Klingon ship.
Yeah.
He's like, well, there'll be no Tribble at all.
Yeah.
And then they had the laughter scene at the end. But
dooming their ship.
Yeah.
Because we, like, saw what happened. Well, we saw what happened at the end of this the short track. You basically see the entire ship overrun, implode, and it's basically going to explode.
Oh yeah.
So it's like
it was like a tidal wave of Tribbles.
And it makes you think now, like watching it now and then thinking back to that original episode, it's like Scotty just kind of killed all of them. He just murdered an entire ship.
Well, he didn't kill Koloth, because Koloth was in DS9.
Oh, that's
he was with Kang and Kor and Curzon.
Right.
And yeah, they were in the episode Blood Oath. like all three of the actors actually reprised their roles as Kang, Koloth, and Kor. And then I think Kor came back like another episode where they found the Sword of Kaelas with Worf, because the other two died, I think.
Okay. Yeah, because they were already like, those actors were in their 40s back in the 1960s or even older. So makes sense that like they would have already been in their 70s by the 90s.
Yeah, and then they'd killed a couple of Klingons in that episode. Like they killed the albino Klingon or something, or the albino something, I don't know. But that's what they went after in that episode. But yeah, I don't know. It was still funny anyway that they doomed him like that. I could so see Scotty and the rest of them being like, oh, they don't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny that they even said, had the guy get the Edward character, he died because of the Tribbles like avalanche inside the ship. And the captain in the escape pod, like there was a very little escape pod for all of her crew. And they were like, oh, you only lost one life. And they're like, how did you lose control? How did this blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, he was an idiot. And that was the end of the episode.
That's how it closed. I laughed so hard. It's like, you're like, they list off all these crimes that she did and all this stuff. And then it's like, how did you lose control on your first day? Like, you know, he was an idiot. So like it's clear that they don't like she's gonna get in trouble, but like they're not gonna like the crimes that she did or what they have her charged up on, it's like treason almost, like enough to get like, they don't have capital punishment, but like it's enough to get serious time.
You're gonna get demoted.
Yeah, like she's gonna get demoted. She's just like, you can see she's not even stressed anymore, she's just like so burnt out, and she's just like, he was an idiot. And then I was like, wait, the episode's not over. We're only 10 minutes in. We watch the credits. And then after the credits, it turns into a 1970s/1980s children's Saturday morning commercial for cereal. Which, like, it was like basically like Count Chocula or Fruity Pebbles, but they were all Tribbles. And like one of them was like, habanero, spicy habanero ranch or something, flavored Tribble cereal.
They were really having fun with it on social media, because they, in one of the shots they took, they had the photos, and then they had one where it was like the cover of like one of the old Star Trek books. They made it look like one of the old Star Trek books. I can't find but yeah, it was kind of cool how they did it though. I don't know if I can even find it, but it's what happens when you bookmark too much crap. But no, they had, here it is. I'll drop it in the window thing, but, they made it look like one of the old Star Trek. Oh, that was for Q&A. They did another one, I think, for the Tribbles one too, but
oh, yeah, that looks good. CBS off. Wait, is this here? The first day on the USS Enterprise has its ups and downs.
Yeah, that was for the Q&A one, but yeah. I think they had one too for the other one, but I'd have to dig through it.
You know what's the best part? I thought that those are photos. Those are drawn pictures of them. They took still shots like from the episode, but those are hand drawn. Those aren't like photoshopped in.
Oh, I know. That's the funny part. Oh, here it is.
Oh, and it even has like in the top corner, it's book number 5 because it's the 5th episode of the Short Treks. Oh god, the best part, it's just like how they really used to do books like that, where they didn't use a photo of somebody, they would draw them, and then it's not 100% how they actually look in real life. It's like just an artist's interpretation of how they look.
Oh yeah, totally.
Tribbles is just beginning. Star Trek Short Treks, the Trouble with Edward, and then it has that listed, and it's book number 6. It's kind of the look on his face, it's priceless.
Oh, no, it's hilarious. He's like, what?
And I mean, this was super silly and over the top. And again, you know, wouldn't fit in the main show, but these are the sort of viral videos that they're putting them on CBS All Access, but they should be putting these all over social media for free. These should be completely
free. I agree. Watch
it. Like, you know, YouTube, everything, Facebook, everywhere that could possibly be, these should be free, especially this episode, because it will pull in, you know, the younger crowd, people that might not even know very much about
it. It's hilarious.
Or the casual. Like, it's one of the funniest things they've ever done. And not like...
Especially for a no-name cast.
Yeah, it's not forcing it down your throat or anything. Like, H. John Benjamin is he's a funny actor, but Rosa Salazar has only done serious stuff. And she plays sort of the straight person in this, but still, like, it's shot, it's actually, you can see it's higher budget too than Q&A was.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's, well, they used the CG for the tribbles, you know, them just magically popping out more of them all over the place.
Oh,
and then you have the tidal wave of tribbles.
Well, or even in the end when they have the commercial where it's all the different cereals, the mom is pouring the cereal box and it never ends. It just keeps pouring out.
Look, the tribbles, they're so delicious.
Oh yeah, this, and the little girl, you know, how they always have like kid actors in those commercials back then. She goes, I they're love
great.
It. It's so furry. And she just sticks it in her mouth and starts chewing.
But yeah, I mean, it's just either way, it's really humorous. And for a goofy episode, like, I don't think they could have done much better.
Yeah, yeah, like it's. I hope they do like they keep the balance where it's like serious one, goofy one, serious one, goofy one. I think that Q&A was a little too much of like here it's being serious and then here it got goofy. You should have that, you know, if you're going to do one, keep it one tone the whole time.
Yeah, and then they also had the whole thing with you know, she had the modern Starfleet uniform in the episode, and then everybody else had somewhat modern. I mean, they had the blue uniforms, but everybody had them. They didn't have really any variation until he switched and he had the red shirt.
Yeah. Like, I'm almost wondering, like, I know that it's going to be animated, and I know we've talked about, you know, you don't necessarily have interest in the lower decks. If that was the feel, if this was the episode, that was the feel of it, and it was, you know, done this way every time, you could have almost done Lower Decks with live action like this, in even if they kept this budget, because it was lower budget than the regular show. Like, I almost feel like this would have been a good pilot for focusing on, like, random characters that, you know, aren't central to the plots of the stories. And that's where you can have the you know, the goofy part. You could have it where there's some serious crap going on with the main bridge crew, but, like, somebody who's, like, the cook near the basement is dealing with, like, oh no, a space rat's gotten in somewhere and I got to get it. And that could be an entire episode.
Yeah. I mean, it really wasn't all that bad. And that, I guess that's the surprising part, like, for being as goofy as it was.
And looking at it, it's not the writer of this and the director, they don't have blue links for their names, but I don't believe they were used in anything else previously. So this
is
new people.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
They haven't announced on the rest of the four episodes who the writers directors are, but if I see any of those names pop up again, I'm, you know, fully expecting it to be in a similar tone.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I'm thinking we're going to see some different things come out in the following episodes, because again, we have, you know, we've had Q&A, which is basically TOS, and then we've had the problem with Edward, which is again basically TOS, and we're going to have another episode, you know, later on that is supposed to be another TOS one. And then they're going to have the Lower Decks, and then they're going to have like one of the animated series ones and something else.
Cause like the next episode is called Ask Not. So I'm assuming it's like Ask Not What You Can Do for Starfleet. It's one of those sorts of things.
I'm thinking it's going to be a Captain Pike centric one, because I know they said there's going to be at least one that's like central to Captain Pike.
It could be that, like, you know, Ask Not What You Can Do, or something like that. I was going to assume if they did one with him, that was maybe going to show, you know, more of his flash forward / PTSD. I mean, you could have called that like the Need of the Many or something, you know, sort of tie it into.
Well, I guess the Ask Not could even almost kind of do that too, because you know, he's taken the road that he could have avoided had he not grabbed that time crystal.
Like, he literally knows he's going to have horrible suffering or death for the rest of his life, and he's like suppressing that and just moving forward.
Yeah,
and it could come literally anywhere.
Yep. And but he knows he's going to be an admiral when it happens.
Yeah, that's true. So he's gonna,
so man. Once he hits admiral, like, he doesn't know.
Nope.
Too nope. Bad, we're gonna make you do it anyway.
Yeah, he just
That
airs the 14th.
So they're gonna have the next episode. I mean, they come out every 2 weeks pretty much, except for in December. But the next episode is Ask Not, then The Girl Who Made the Stars, Ephraim and Dot, which I almost wonder if that's going to be the Lower Decks one.
I would think so, because, yeah, isn't that right? They're splitting this season, or this shorter season, up like with live action, and they're mixing in some animated sort of as like a, isn't it like a backdoor pilot for the animated cartoon?
More or less. It says that the two shorts would have different animation styles from one another, which would tie into the story and tone of each installment.
Are those the ones, because they're doing two back to back? So are those both going to be cartoons? The Girl Who Made the Stars and Ephraim and Dot? Because they're both number 12.
It says that the animation ones are probably going to be taking on some of the continuations of Discovery, like to or at least having just different animation styles. So it doesn't really say
It would make sense to me if you're going to do animated ones to air them back to back, maybe on the same day.
I would think so.
Because then the last one is Children of Mars. Now I'm wondering, because the last season they had at least one episode that tied in fairly heavily, introducing the one character. I'm drawing a blank on her name, but she was very crucial. She was the queen. She was the stowaway. And she everybody thought she was a one-off, like nothing, and it ended
she did the lithium crystal thing.
Yeah, and then she ended up being extremely crucial to the story. So I'm wondering if they're going to throw one of them in here.
I'm wondering if Children of Mars is going to almost be one of those things that ties into Picard.
Yeah, like I'm thinking like something like either that one. It's odd that they cast Rosa Salazar in a 15-minute episode on a one-off thing when she's literally a movie star. But not like she's not like huge where she's in like crazy demand to do these giant movies. So I'm wondering if they're going to cast her character is going to show up maybe in not Picard, but in Discovery. And they're sort of like testing the waters to see what the reaction is to her.
Well, the other thing is I wonder if they're staging the ground for a more fleshed out Captain Pike universe.
Yeah. Like even if it's a prequel or something.
Yeah. And like even if it's like pre the cage, like pre the Klingon struggle, like I'm wondering if they're going to go that route with it. So it's hard to say. It really is.
She'd be a good name to attach to it. Because they could have let's be honest, they could cast any TV actress to do it. But why would they cast somebody who's, you know, an up and comer in you know, blockbuster pictures for a 10-minute episode?
Unless she just really wanted to be in Trek.
That's very true, too.
Because, like, offered 15 minutes or no time, I would take it.
Then again, she's also so young that I don't think she was... I got to double check that, but I don't think she was alive when the last Trek show was on. Or was she? How old is she? Oh, okay, not her. Let's see here.
She's 34.
Oh, she's a heck of a lot older. I thought she was 18. And I thought like she wouldn't have been old enough to like remember any of this stuff.
She's a year older than I am.
Oh, she just looks hella young. Okay.
Oh, yeah, she looks like she's like 22.
Yeah, like I thought she was playing a 17-year-old when she was like 19 when that movie came out. But no, I'm really wrong. She just didn't start acting till like 2012.
2010.
Is it 2010. Really? Oh, TV stuff. Yeah.
I'm on the Wikipedia.
Oh, I see it. Yeah. I see it right there. Okay. So, yeah. So she's still fairly, you know, fairly recent. Like she hasn't been really acting full 10 years quite yet. But no,
she did the Divergent movie, Insurgent, which was probably her biggest movie early on. And then she did The Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, which was the second film. Later that same year,
and she's in Death Cure for that. So she won
Best Actress and Breakthrough Achievement Awards for that, and then was in the Chips movie, the final Maze Runner film.
Yeah.
And then
Battle Angel Alita.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, those are pretty much all the blockbuster ones she was in. And she did some College Humor web videos.
Looks like she does voice acting in cartoons and stuff too.
Yeah. Among other different ones, she was in Arkham Origins as Copperhead.
Neat.
Yeah, so didn't know that. That's kind
of
neat.
She's just one of those people that just looks super, super young for her age.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because she's short too.
Yeah, it's and her build and everything, and it's just like some people, like I knew people in high school that by the time they were 17, you're like, wow, you already look 40. Good luck with that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of funny though. So we learned something new about Star Trek actors all the time.
The schedule for this is kind of weird though. Like the first one comes out and then the next, like on October 5th, then 5 days later,
which is a Saturday.
Yeah. Then over a month later for where they're putting another one, and then a month later for two more, and then a month later again.
It's really poor planning.
Well, like, here's the question. Why?
Like the 14th one could have easily been moved into October 24th.
Yeah.
And then you had one of the December ones like on the 14th of November. And then, okay, I get you're going to skip the last 2 weeks because, you know, Thanksgiving and Black Friday, nobody's going to pay attention. Yeah. And then moving it to maybe like, I get the 12th because, you know, that's kind of putting it in the middle of the month before Christmas.
Well, why didn't they just move the October ones till the end of October?
Like that would make sense too.
Like I can already tell you why they didn't put, it might sound weird, but the reason they're not putting or the October 10th one, why they didn't do it like on the Saturday again, is because this coming, or when we're recording, the Saturday this coming week is Canadian Thanksgiving, and this is also airing on like the cable channel here. So,
but they switched them all to Thursdays from this point out,
which is odd. Like, is it why would you?
Because that's when Discovery came out. It was on a Thursday.
Oh, it aired Sunday nights here, I thought, or is that season one?
Season two came out on Thursdays because I was like, this is stupid. There shouldn't be a set day. Like, it's just, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I liked the new captain. I liked kind of how dumb some of the, they made it kind of very 60s characters-esque with Larkin. And I love the vacuum cleaner for the tribbles that they had in the background.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, vacuuming them up. And then they're running around with phaser rifles, just blasting them, which made no difference. And then the ridiculous amount of them doing the tidal wave, and then they had the like almost 60s camp music throughout the whole thing.
And that was like it was like she got to a ship that had permanent 1960s, like not elevator music. It was like when you would go to the mall and you see footage of people going, like when the shopping mall was a new thing in the late 60s or early 70s, right? And you had to pipe in 30 hours of music, you know, in a row that played from like a reel-to-reel recorder. That's what it sounded like. Like you're just like, oh, I'm going to go shopping for pants. And, you know, not every store had the radio on. It was like the mall itself had the radio on.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was really funny and enjoyable, like I said. But yeah, I still enjoy the aspect of seeing Pike in both of the shorts and then, seeing how some of this stuff plays out. But I don't really know how I feel about the animated stuff. I know one of them is going to be heavily geared towards kids on Nickelodeon, and the other one's going to be Lower Decks, which is on CBS All Access. And to be honest, I really don't care about it.
I think if anything, it'll be that Ephraim and Dot will be the kids one. It just, out of all the names, it's the one that sounds the like. We'll come back and talk about it. We'll probably be wrong, but like the girl who made the stars doesn't sound kiddie.
Maybe Ask Not is the animated one for Lower Decks.
Yeah, maybe.
Unless they go Children of Mars with it.
Like when I see that, though, all I think of is like John Carpenter's Ghosts of Mars, and I'm thinking it's not going to be like that, or it could be. But if it's dealing with Children of Mars, do you think it'll be people that are like miners or like slave workers?
Could be. That's why I think it could be tied to Picard,
because
could end up seeing the enslaved Romulans or the enslaved Borg and like possibly the androids.
Yeah, I don't think, here's the thing, I don't think it's necessarily going to be taking place on Mars. Like, I think Mars thing is a reference to like the
Outcasts.
Yeah, Outcasts
on their own.
There are other sci-fi shows like Space Above and Beyond that dealt with Mars as being, you know, a colony planet where they had problems, and they also did that with was it Babylon 5 had a Mars revolt, but that was, you know, just in the literal sense. They're not going to go there. I think they're going to go almost in the mythological sense, like Children of Mars meaning like children of war.
Yeah,
like they're like, you know, kids that have grown up only in war or war-torn countries and that. So I think it might be Mars in the sense of like the god of war. It can also be like a, you know, Romulus and Remus sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be basically representing like the redheaded stepchild, the outcast, the forgotten, or the under, you know, appreciated. It might be that.
I either way, I could see it being like a definite like kickoff point for Picard.
Yeah, like we might see introductions of a couple characters that we'll see on his crew.
Yeah, which would be nice to see some of that kind of play out. So,
like it could also be, like I don't know how they're going to tie it in, but you know, what's his name? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. What's his name is coming back to the Picard show, the one that was one of the freed Borgs?
Hugh?
Yeah. It could it be in reference to him and those freed Borgs? Like children, you know, being,
it could be,
you know, that sort of thing. I'm the more I think about it, the more and more I think it's going to be that idea, Children of War or something like that. And that's just a colorful title. Now, you know, we could be entirely wrong, but just based on like looking at the first couple episodes and the names they gave them, they're not just thrown for no reason. There is a clear hint as to either the theme or motif for each episode.
Yeah, definitely there is. So I think that about wraps this one up.
Yeah, I mean, when is the actual start date of Picard? It was listed recently, right?
The 23rd of January.
Now, is that coinciding similarly with when the Orville starts?
It's a Thursday.
Because wasn't last year the Orville was like the same? No, it wasn't the same day. It was like right around the same thing. This time the Orville is on a streaming platform. I wonder, are they going to drop every episode at once?
I guess from what I'm reading, the Orville season 3 will have longer episodes on Hulu.
Okay, that's cool.
So since moving from Fox to Hulu for its 2020 premiere, so it'll be out in 2020, the episode count will be lower than the first two seasons, but with significantly longer episodes arriving on a weekly basis. Apparently.
So they're probably giving them like 55 minute episodes instead of 48.
Yeah. And so they'll have 11 episodes, they're going to have space battles and, of course, everything else. Yeah, so each episode's going to be 10 minutes longer on Hulu. Okay, so
it says late in 2020.
Yeah.
So, okay, it's just too bad. Oh, well. Well, at least we have, you know, more space shows to watch, because the last couple of years it's been like the 1-2 punch every week of Orville and Star Trek.
Yeah, it's sounding like they're... Yeah, I enjoyed having both back-to-back, honestly. Yeah, they're saying sometime in 2020. It doesn't say when, probably because of the whole move.
Yeah.
That took place.
I wouldn't be surprised if it airs at the same time as Discovery.
I'm wondering if Discovery is going to air sooner than what they're saying.
You think it might air in the summer?
I think so. If not, it'll be in the fall, yeah, like a general show. I think, too, that they need to fix the turnaround time on these, because I think that they go way too long.
Well, they're like 15 months, which is problematic when you have no set schedule to release. Like, if you're going to drop them all at once, no big deal. But if they're expecting to compete with regular shows on a week-to-week basis, the smartest thing to do would be what Stargate did the last, 6 years it was out. That show used to premiere, was it in the spring, and would go all the way through the summer. Or any show, sci-fi does best in the summer when it has no real competition.
Agreed.
And also, the summer is boring for TV and people still want to watch things. And Netflix and, more to a lesser extent, Hulu/Amazon have the market cornered on dropping episodes in the middle of the year and disrupting regular TV. But CBS All Access and the Warner services, like DC Universe, they don't really have that clout to do that. And we've seen that with the viewerships for, you know, their own respective properties. The only channel and service that can really drop it whenever they want and have people come over is HBO. I feel like everybody wants to copy that, and I don't think that CBS All Access is there. But they would, if they really wanted to push this, it would be great if they could throw it out in the summertime.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think that would be the best move on their behalf.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it for Short Treks. It's sort of the predictions we can have for it. I look forward to it, but I'm not a fan of the erratic schedule.
I've not been a fan of that either. I think that it's going way too long, and I don't think that helps matters in their subscription service when they're wanting everyone to sign up.
Yeah, and Short Treks, the final word on that for me is it should be free and viewable anytime for anybody. If you don't want to give it out on YouTube and other platforms, what you should do is when you go to CBS All Access's website, if you're not a member, you should still be able to watch any of the Short Treks. It should be what entices you. It's you want to watch the rest of the show? You want to watch extra things? You know, or give away one or two episodes per season that way. Give away the first episode of Discovery for free forever to watch on there. But they don't do those things. And it's you've got to, you get your first, couple weeks free or your first month free. That's not going to cut it. It's got to be easy to get to, and it's got to be, super accessible. And the easiest way to do that, if you're not going to go with putting it on YouTube and that, is to just, let people sample it by watching all these Short Treks. Because really, they're not making, these aren't pulling people in to subscribe. They're not even really enticing people to come back to the show. We just happen to watch it because we're super fans. But do you think the vast majority of anybody that watched Discovery even knows that these exist?
Probably not. If it weren't for the fact that I was going to watch them anyway.
Yeah. So this would be super smart. They've got this content created. It's not super expensive. It still looks better than most, webisodes from other shows, and just throw them up for free. Come on, CBS, you got the money.
Yeah, but they want more of that. That's why people pirate it.
Oh, I see. Exactly. It's like, I forgot that you don't just want money. You want all the money.
That's what only Disney can play that game.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. There's another service they're going to have to compete with. And let's be honest, as good as Discovery looked last season, and the last couple episodes looked really good, really good, almost movie quality. Same could be said for that big battle in, in the Orville. They had that two-parter, had some pretty good graphics, especially for a show that shouldn't have any right to have the kind of budget it had. The Mandalorian looks like an actual movie. So I wonder if that's going to, like, if competition from Apple is going to make CBS up their game or find other ways. They might force them to start giving away things for free.
And honestly, that would be the way to go. Because, like, at this point, I think that we're kind of plateaued on that whole market. Like, I honestly have... if it weren't for the fact that I get Netflix for free from, you know, press purposes, I honestly would not subscribe. Like, because I don't care to pay for any of these services because, and it's not because I want to, like, slight any of the creators or anything. It's just I don't have that kind of money to throw away in all these subscription services.
Same. Like, my brother shares a family account with us. So, like, three of us, like, my mom and myself and my brother share a Netflix account, which is perfectly fine because he pays for the upper tier. And how I contribute is I have an Amazon Prime account for shipping stuff. So he gets access to my Prime, which we can have two people logged into that. So there might be three now, actually. So, you know, I cover that. So we all sort of share different things. Like, and my mom's end, she pays for... one of the other services up here, Crave, which comes with her internet package fairly cheap because it's owned by Bell. They have Bell Internet, so they get it for $4 a month instead of like 7 or 10 or whatever it is. So we all sort of, you know, share it around. And I think that, you know, they don't really want you to do that. But then again, if they didn't want you to do it, they wouldn't specifically say you could have up to four devices connected at once and it doesn't matter what IP you're using. They're just trying to get people in the subscriber base. But you know, adding into that, Apple's going to be available in Canada. I don't think DC is available. I think those shows are. It's not because Titans and Doom Patrol were put on regular cable here. Isn't there one coming from? Like, it's not Hulu's moving up to Canada too, but isn't there another one from NBC wants to create another one too? Like.
I'm not really sure.
Or is it Paramount is making one finally?
I think it's Paramount.
Because they're the only one that doesn't have one right now.
Well,
CBS All Access. It's Universal, I meant. No, Universal.
Hulu. Yeah, it might anyway, be Universal. Because Paramount's merging with CBS. So.
And then HBO is available from Warner. Like, there's all these different services. And it's like, if you add it up, it's more money than it used to cost for cable. If you add them all together.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's not worth the money.
So, like, people are going to do this with, like, what we're doing, where it's like you pick one service, you maybe get a second if you can get it dirt cheap. And then another family member buys one service, and another family member buys a service. And then if you all pool it together and share, you know, you can all get away, you know, by paying maybe $15 a month and then get three or four services. But you start adding in three or four other services, and some things are just going to get left alone.
I totally agree. So,
and for those things, it's like you got to pick what's your favorite fandom. And it's like, I don't know if CBS All Access is if they don't get way more stuff, it's not going to be worth it, you know, except to subscribe for like the few months out of the year that Star Trek is on.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Short Treks, awesome so far.
So far, yeah. It remains to be seen how the rest of it goes, but yeah. We'll be back to talk about those, as well as Picard, especially Picard. Whether Mike does or not, we'll be here.
I'm still trying to get him to finish the last season. He's all scatterbrained when it comes to that. He still hasn't watched the Orville either, not even the first season.
Yeah. Well, boo to him. Yeah, keep going.
I'm just gonna start smacking him with a stick when I see him.
You should. Yeah, when he starts wanting to watch other stuff, just smack him with a ruler. And then when he asks why, you say you have, and then you count up on the scale of numbers and say you have this many episodes to finish before you're done with the series.
I have a yardstick. I'll just smack him with it. And every episode he watches, I'll cut it shorter and shorter and shorter so that I can't reach him anymore.
That'll be incentive.
yeah.
Oh, that's funny. But I guess that wraps it up. So until next time... We have been
Alex
and Steve, so live long and prosper.